Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show, as always, and I hope you're doing well. With me today is a very special guest. It is the author of Where the Magic Happens, Casper Craven. How are you today, Casper?
I'm fabulous, fabulous. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. It is a Friday, so all the better. And of course, for our audience, about Casper, he does talk about leadership, teamwork, collaboration, and resilience for leadership, employee sales, and marketing, and business audience. And of course, he is the author of Where the Magic Happens. And we're very happy to have him today on the podcast and to talk about the book and himself and his experience as well. But before we get into the book itself, Casper, I really want to ask you, what inspired you to actually become an author and start writing?
So, part of the journey is that part of my backstory is I've sailed around the world a couple of times. And the second time I sailed around the world was with my wife and my three kids. And whilst I was doing that, I was writing a fairly regular blog. And as we were going around, someone said to me, it's like, well, why don't you write a book? And I thought about it. I thought, that sounds fun. So that was basically where it came from. And I actually wrote probably the bulk of the book as we sailed from Cape Town in South Africa to Salvador in Brazil. I got up at 3 o'clock every morning and wrote 2,000 words a day until I had a book by the time we got to Brazil. So that was where it all came from. So.
Wow, fantastic. And let's talk a bit about that, because I really want to know more about your experience there. What was the trigger for this transformation in your life and going on this new chapter and deciding to go through with it?
So I'll wind you back in time to 2009. And back then, I had a small business, and we weren't doing terribly well. The business was struggling, and I think as a result of that, our marriage was struggling as well. So times were pretty tough. And my wife and I said, well, tell you what, why don't we create a vision, a story of the future that's more exciting than where we are today? And we took about 6 months to create a story of what the future looked like. And for us, it was at the more extreme end of things. We decided to go and sail around the world, which was kind of a crazy idea back then, because my wife had only been on a boat twice and she'd been seasick both times. We didn't have the money and we didn't have a boat. So lots of good reasons why we shouldn't have done it. But we created this story about how we wanted things to be different. And that was literally where it all started from. And that's basically what the journey of the book is all about, that whole transformation, both in life, in business, and relationship, to go and have some amazing adventures and literally change everything in our world.
Yeah, and let's talk a bit about that. And of course, let's talk about the book. Now, the one thing that really, I suppose, sticks out for me is the planning stage of it all. And I guess that's something that translates to a business sense very well. How did you go about planning something like this? I suppose it's a bit of a project management, if anything.
It is. Well, it's interesting. So, you know, we see a huge amount of parallels between being successful in a family and being successful in a business. So as a family, we created a really clear vision of what we wanted to go and do. And we had it written out like a vision statement, literally stuck on the kitchen wall. So exactly the same as you'd have a vision statement in your business. We had a mission statement, which was, you know, why did this matter? And for us, that was all about creating magical, life-changing experiences for us and our kids. So, and, you know, a mission statement like you'd have in your business. We had values, same in family, same in business. And we had those really clear blocks in place, because I think it's really hard to start getting into all the details unless you've got absolute clarity on the big picture. And, you know, the parallel with business is clear. But over the 5 years, we had to prepare for this, because you can't take anything like this lightly. There's a huge amount of risk mitigation to go through. And the level of detail we went into every single area, medical, schooling, boat, weather, routing, boat maintenance, it was a huge spreadsheet of all the different things that we have to cover. You can't take that lightly. So,
was there any one aspect that you thought was particularly challenging or perhaps exciting? I suppose it would be something to do with the boat itself, maybe.
If you looked at any one aspect, or you looked at all the areas together, they probably seem overwhelming, but like with anything, you take it and you break it down into chunks. That actually it seemed okay. I guess, you know, the medical side of things was quite a significant one, because, you know, if anything happened to us. So for that, for example, both my wife and I trained to become ship's doctors. So we sort of, you know, went to fairly extreme lengths to make sure that we could, you know, manage with any situation that came up. So that was probably the one that, yeah, floated at the top of my mind.
And let's talk a bit about the leadership and especially the teamwork aspect of it all. Now, in your experience, what did you learn about teamwork and leadership when you perhaps compare it to a workplace or an office environment?
So it's interesting. So to make the to create the money to make this happen. So say back when we had the idea, I'd earned more money stacking shelves at Tesco's. I had to transform my businesses. And so the first lessons I learned in leadership when I was driving my business so hard that everybody threatened to leave. So I realized that you can't just force people along to your own agenda. People only do things for their reasons. And that's very much evident with children as well, that you have to find the thing that engages children. And, you know, that's applied to the education side of things. It applied to how do we build the businesses. So it's finding the thing that ignites each individual person. And, you know, that was right at the core of what I learned engaging individuals, because it's the team of people who are going to take you along the journey. You can't just do it by force of character and, you know, driving everybody hard. I tried doing that and it didn't work. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's that engagement piece.
Yeah, and let's talk a bit about that, because I find that fascinating. And when we translate it to, I suppose, a business sense, in your opinion, what do you think are the biggest challenges that leaders and managers face when it comes to their teams today, and how can they handle them? I mean, you said there, you know, trying to force your way in does not work. It's not something that people appreciate. What were the alternatives that you thought were more effective?
So again, I take this parallel between family and business for me is really strong. So I think, you know, what do the best families do that thrive the most? And it's they take care about each individual person. You're really interested, you know, how each person is developing, what they're going to go and do, where they thrive. And it's finding the strengths for each person. And rather that whole thing, rather than trying to build on your weaknesses, is find the one or two things you're absolutely brilliant at. So we had a great example of this. One of the guys in our business is that we tried him in three different roles. And he, the reason we kept going with this guy, because he had a brilliant attitude. And we started off with him as a frontline salesman. That didn't work. Then he became a consultant, and that didn't work for various reasons. Finally, we put him in a support role where he was, you know, his personality and his charisma was just incredible, looking after all of our different clients. And it's that thing for each individual person, finding the thing that makes each piece of person thrive. Because for all of us, there's one or two things, our superpowers, where nobody needs us to tell us to go and do things. We naturally go and do it because we love doing it. You can always tell by your email inbox. What are the things you do first thing in the morning? What are the things that you leave until the end of the day? The clues are all there. So for each individual person, it's fine helping them find the areas where they thrive the most. And that's what it's basically all about. So looking after people and putting them in the right roles.
Yeah, and to follow up, there is one area I want to briefly touch upon, and that is technology. And I think that it plays a very important part when we are trying to establish this authentic connection within teams. Do you think that technology is perhaps the leading catalyst all of it, or do you perhaps feel that it's kind of gone overboard? And as you said, you know, emails, and they're coming in all the time, and we can't really switch off. Is there a happy medium in any of this?
Gosh, there's a lot in there. I mean, I think technology is clearly an incredible enabler of things. For me, the most powerful things are when you connect with other people, whether that's by phone, whether that's by email, whether that's face to face, and you know, it's creating that immediate connection with the people who are reporting into you, the people in your team. So technology can definitely enable that, you know, much as we're speaking now. And so even just the simplest thing, a phone connection. I think there is also a danger in technology, which I see definitely with our children. I also saw this in the business as well, is that you end up becoming addicted to the flow of information, and then it becomes counterproductive. So, you know, I think the speed of change we're seeing in culturally in terms of how we use technology, it's phenomenal. There's a lot of good things with that, but I think there are also downsides. But I think if we keep coming back to this core, which is about connecting with people and caring for people and putting that at the heart of things, then so long as technology serves that purpose rather than technology running the show, then I think that's okay.
Fantastic. And going back to your experience, what was the most inspirational thing for you? Was there any one particular place that you saw in your travels that really, you know, made you sort of stop and pause? What was an inspirational story out of this?
Gosh, there's so many to choose from. I think our reason for doing what we did was to spend to create magical life-changing experiences for us and our children, and it was seeing the world with them and getting them to appreciate different cultures and different experience of the world. So whenever we went anywhere, I'd go and find local schools and go and get my kids in school for the day. So actually my 3-year-old, her first day of school was in this beautiful little island called Fakarava in the Tuamotu Islands in French Polynesia. And just to be able to, you know, they all spoke French there, and my kids didn't speak French, but to just go and connect, and you realize that humanity is you know, right at the heart of how we all do things, and language just doesn't really matter, because, you know, kids find ways to communicate irrespective of language. So the magic was definitely all tied up in the children and experiencing the world with them.
Fantastic. And to close off, I really want to ask you, you know, for our audience, what advice can you give anyone out there that wants to try what you have done? Where can they possibly begin?
So the first thing is, I suspect that virtually nobody will want to do what we did. But where I suggest everybody begins is starting with your family. And when I say family, I mean it in the broadest sense. It's the people in your world who you're closest to outside of work. And the thing I always say is start to create a narrative and a story of the future. What's truly important to you and your family. And you know, my wife always says most people end up living 1 centimeter away from their faces. But just imagine 5 years out. What does your story look like? Where do you want to go? What do you want to be going and doing? And when we did that, that just released this huge amount of energy, which spilled over into our work. And, you know, I had the most productive 5 years of my working life because I was driven by a personal goal of going and doing things. So I would say my starting point for everyone is get really clear, put family first, and then work out what's the work, business, purpose, mission that serves that. Because I promise you that will unleash a huge amount of energy that will make you the best version of you can in your work self.
Great advice for our audience there. And to close off, Casper, I want to ask you the question I ask anyone that actually comes on the podcast, and that, what are you currently reading, or do you perhaps have any recommendations for our listeners that you've currently read or have read in the past?
Gosh, so many books. So funny enough, actually, I'm reading a book at the moment called The Business Plan for Peace by Dr. Scylla Elworthy. So that's about how we can bring peace and harmony to the world. Scylla came to one of my talks a few weeks ago and had the pleasure of meeting her. So that's an amazing lady. So that's what I'm reading right now. The book I always recommend to everybody, it's a slightly old book, but it's called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And he was one of the original creators of the whole concept of, well, of self-concept and psychology. And he has a series of brilliant techniques in that book, which I rely heavily on. And so that's a staple book that I recommend to everyone.
Great. And for our listeners, there will be a link in the description below, so you can go and you can check out those books as well. But with that, Casper, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
You're very welcome. It's been lovely to talk to you too.
And of course, for our listeners, if you enjoyed our conversation today, please feel free to check out the links below where you can find out more about Where the Magic Begins, of course, to purchase the books and more about Casper himself. And as always, I would like to thank you very much for joining us this week on a podcast. It's a pleasure to have a great audience. And if you have any questions or feedback, please reach out to us on social media. We'd love to hear what you think. And as always, I will love to see you here with us next week as well.